Good morning. Everybody doing okay? That was not convincing at all. I just want you to know. I don't know if you're trying to fool somebody, but you need to try harder because, man. Okay, let's try one more time. At least pretend, okay? How's everybody doing today? Oh, okay, much better. I feel good now. Oh, man, I think y'all might be still asleep. All right, let's see what we can do about that. There's no better way to start a day than have some guy yelling at you. So I learned that a long time ago. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before this gets too crazy. Father, we come to you right now, Lord. Lord, we just we come before your presence right now, Father. Lord, you're good. Thank you for your presence that's here today. We ask that you just come and move in this place, Lord. Have your will today. Let your will be done. Lord, you know every person that is here. You know their needs. You know their desires. And I just pray right now, God, that you would help us to just lay aside all the cares of this world. Just put everything aside that has bothered us or concerned us this week, and help us to just hear your voice today. Give us a little break in the battle, a ceasefire, Lord, that we could just come before you and hear your wisdom, hear your comfort, hear your love. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us where we have failed you. Cleanse us of any unrighteousness. Lead us in the way everlasting. Sanctify us for your purposes, Lord. Set us apart for your use. Come and have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, whether it be in paper form or digital form, or maybe it's all through memory, I don't know. 2 Kings chapter 4 is where we're going to begin reading. I want to welcome everybody here, all your visitors and family and friends and all of that. I just want you to be welcome today. Make yourself at home. I thank the church for the gifts that y'all have given us. And I want you to know I do feel appreciated. Thank you for making that effort to show me and Rhonda that love that you have. And we love being here. We love being involved in this body. We love being a part. And so thank you all for what you've done. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 is where we're going to be starting today. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons shall live on the rest." This woman was told by Elisha to go and get as many vessels as she could borrow. But there was an additional point to this command that I want us to focus on today. He said, get empty vessels. Empty vessels. Empty vessels provide opportunity for God to demonstrate power. He didn't say go borrow other vessels of oil. He said go get empty vessels. God's about to do something. If you go get vessels that already have stuff in them, maybe they're half full. God doesn't get to do the full work. You've already put something in there. Let's not mix and contaminate the pure, holy thing God's going to do with some other stuff. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm going to pour Dr. Pepper into my glass, I don't want there to be something different in there when I start. Now it's contaminated, right? We don't start off with a half a glass of sweet tea and then put Dr. Pepper in it. Both of those things are good by themselves. I don't want them mixed together, okay? And likewise, when I come before God, I don't need to have a lot of other things mixed in with what God is going to do in my life, okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Or are we all tracking today? All right, so Elisha tells this lady, go and get as many vessels as you can. Borrow them from everywhere. But bring empty vessels. If they already got something in it, leave that with whoever you borrowed it from. Bring an empty vessel. Church, I come to you today wanting to share something with you. I want us to leave here today with an understanding of what God wants to do in our lives that maybe we didn't have when we came. Or maybe you did, but this is just a good reminder of where we need to be in our walk with God. We have lots of things to fill ourselves with in the world today. More so than probably any other generation before, we can fill ourselves with a lot of things. And we wonder sometimes, why is it that it doesn't seem like God does much in our lives? We'll talk about that in a minute. We often come to the Lord half full of something from this world or our own. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't do more in your life? Y'all, we got a long way to go today, so let's dig in. Have you? You ever wondered, man, I want God to do things, but it just seems like He doesn't really do much in my life. I'll go pray for a few minutes, but it feels like there's no response. Maybe God doesn't do much in your life because you haven't made much room for Him. You're already a half to three-quarter full when you go to Him and you say, well, God, this is all the room I got for You to do something. But if we come to God as an empty vessel, we empty ourselves out before we come to Him and we say, all right, Lord, here I am. I am an empty vessel. There ain't nothing fancy to look at. There is nothing in me. I want all that You got. That's a whole different mindset. That's a whole different way to approach the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You go to Him and say, I don't have anything. I want everything You have. But a lot of times we come to Him and we say, okay, got a lot of things going on, God. I'm going to carve out this hour for You. Now, I'm going to be distracted later on, so you better get all you can right now, God. Does that sound silly to anybody? That we, the feeble creation of a mighty God, would try to dictate to Him how much we will allow. We do it all the time. What does it mean to bring an empty vessel to the Lord? Well, we'll answer that as we go. First, let's talk about what Jesus has said.
Y'all, I think this is important. The words of Jesus to me are very important. More so than any other word in the Bible, even though they're all of Him. But when it's in red, I feel like I need to pay extra special attention. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 24, He says, "Until now you have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." What does that mean? Well, that tells me real quick that the heart of Jesus is that I be full of joy. And that He wants to answer my prayer. He says, "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So that there is something that in this relationship between me and Him where He's saying, "I want you to be full of joy." So what do we need to be full of? Y'all, we can fill ourselves with a lot of things in this world. I hope I'm getting into what's going on in your head right now. We can fill ourselves with all sorts of things and ways that we try to scratch that itch that we have in the flesh. But when we come before God, if we will take the time to empty out all of that and come before Him and say, "God, I want what You have. I want what You have to offer. That something that will sustain me, that will go beyond what this world can offer me." One of the things He wants to offer you is joy. Who here today needs joy? All right, some of y'all are full then. Y'all good? Okay, okay, okay. I see more. Okay, all right. Y'all, I'm going to tell y'all what I see. What I see in the world today is less and less joy. You don't see a lot of true joy anymore. If you've ever encountered someone that's just kind of bubbling over, you've seen what joy is. And it might have been one of those times when you said, "What is wrong with that person?" Or you might have said, "I don't understand how they have that joy. I want it." Jesus' desire is that our joy would be full. He also said that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. So that means he wants us to be full of righteousness also. And you're like, "Well, wait a minute. How can I be full of all of these things?" God knows how. Okay, I don't know how to tell you. There's more than one full. You can be full of joy. You can be full of righteousness all at the same time. In fact, that's His desire for you, that these things fill you. These qualities, these fruits of the Spirit fill you. He told His disciples, "Wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power." And that later on we call being filled with the Spirit. His desire is that we be full of the Spirit of God, the living God, that He dwells within us and we are full of that. There's a lot of people full of a lot of things today, okay? What are you full of? I'd rather be empty before my God and let Him fill me. And let Him fill me. Hear me out now. We should leave His presence filled. I know that's a really simple statement. How many times, come on, be honest with yourself now. How many times have we come into the presence of God and left the same? We left the same. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, it's really difficult to come into the presence of God truly and not be changed. So what I want to just drive home to you today is, did you really come into the presence of God? Or did you just come to a building? And I want you to also understand today, church, that the presence of God can be on this one and not on that one. The presence of God does not fill a room to the extent that you can walk in and just know it's going to hit you. But He does fill the room for a person. You can see a crowd of people and the Spirit of God moving on them, and then all of a sudden there's this other one standing over here that ain't getting nothing out of it. He's like, I don't even understand what this guy's talking about. How many times have you came to where there's a gathering, whether it be a church or whatever, maybe how many times have you come before God in your prayer and you left empty? You left half full of the same things you brought in. See, God's desire is to fill you, though. So how do we reconcile those two things? Because if God wants to fill you, but you're leaving empty, where's the disconnect? We should leave His presence full, overflowing. Heaven forbid we overflow and spill onto somebody, right? We should leave overflowing full to the extent that when we come in contact with somebody, they're going to get some on them. You say, well, I don't know how that makes sense practically. I want to help you. How many times have you talked to somebody in the drive-thru and they were obviously having a bad day, and you added fuel to the fire? How many times have you met somebody in a drive-thru that was obviously having a bad day, and you blessed them? I've done both. I don't know about you. I've done both. I would like to say I was on the side where I blessed them more than I cursed them, but I don't know if that's true. But I'm going to tell you what, when I have blessed them, it was because I was full and I was overflowing. And even though in the midst of their chaos and their craziness, it was probably a great inconvenience to me, I said, you know what? I choose to look past all of that and I want to just pour out onto them a little bit. I want to change their day. I want to be an impact in their life. Right? And it was because in that moment I was full of something other than what this world had to offer. Amen? Can somebody get on board with me today? Listen, that's what we ought to be. When we come before God, we ought to come to Him with an attitude that says, God, I got other things going on in my life and I don't want none of that. I want what You have to offer me. Fill me up with the right thing. Fill me up with the good thing, the thing that is eternal, the thing that can change people's lives for a positive impact. What are you filled with today? I told you there's a lot of people full of a lot of things. And immediately somebody's mind went to the wrong place. What are you filled with today? Come on, church. Are you filled with depression instead of joy? Can I get an amen? Are you filled with weakness instead of strength? Huh? Oh, y'all gonna get quiet on me now. Are you filled with doubt instead of faith? Are you filled with hopelessness instead of confidence? Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. We make it about a lot of things, and that's not always the truth. That's the truth. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you tired of feeling helpless when the enemy attacks? Are you tired of feeling weak and empty? Come on, I know I ain't the only one. Are you tired of looking at the world around and feeling a sense of hopelessness? Come on, y'all watch the news? I'm with you, Courtney. I try not to. Stay away. I don't want to know. It's bad. And if that's all you look at, hopelessness is all you'll have. Because you know there's better. But you see everything working against the good. And it's a feeling of hopelessness that will settle in on you if you don't look at anything else. Are you tired of that? Even if you don't watch the news, I guarantee you, you just look around. Look at people. Look at the kids today. Look at the things going on that are contaminating everything about them. I think about what it said about Lot when Abraham was talking to those angels that were going to destroy it. And there it mentions Lot. It says that every day it vexed his righteous soul because of the sin that was being perpetrated all around him. Is that what you feel today? You should, right? If there's any righteousness in you, everything you see should just vex you. It should just be a weight on you. But there's something else. The people of God should not walk around carrying hopelessness because we have a hope. Huh? Come on, children of God. We have a hope. We have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Lord eternal, the King of kings, the name that is above every name. We have a hope. But you're half full of hopelessness, half full of faithlessness, half full of weakness, half full of fear and doubt. And we come to God and we say, God, I got about a quarter left for you. Will you fill me up with something good? And you got three quarters that ain't. Bring Him an empty vessel, church. Empty yourself today. Come to the Lord and allow Him to fill you. Let depression, hear me. Let depression be replaced with joy. And you say, I don't know how. You don't need to. Come to Him and empty yourself and say, God, here I am. Fill me up. Fill me up. Give me a reason to be joyful. Give me a reason to let this depression fall off of me. Give me a reason to shout and jump for joy because I know who my Redeemer is. I know that He lives and will stand in the last days. I know who my Redeemer is, church. He has never failed me. He's never been slack concerning His promises. He's never let my request fall on deaf ears. He is alive today. I know who He is. Let that depression fall away and let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Let weakness be replaced by strength. You say, I don't know how. I'm telling you how. Empty yourself of it today. Come to Him and say, God, I need strength. I need You to show me why I am not weak. What does the Word say? You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. Huh? In Jesus Christ, I am something different than what this world thinks I am. Huh? I have a new identity, y'all. Do you? I am a child of God. I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I have been given a position in His kingdom. I am an heir to the throne. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, my Savior. who has defeated all of hell and the grave and given me a hope, because I know there's coming a day when I might die on this earth, but I will rise again. I know there's coming a day when my Lord is coming back to meet me in the air. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells me, I don't want you to be ignorant, brother, but remember this, that there's coming a day when that sky is going to part and He's coming, and all of those that are already dead and in the grave, woo, they're going to rise again. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all those that remain will be changed, and they will meet Him in the air, and forever, forever they will be right there with Him. Where's He going to be? I don't care. I know where I will be. Right with Him. Come on, y'all. Why are we weak? The victory has been won. It's been given to us. We have been brought into fellowship with the King of Kings. There's no weakness that should take place in our life. The enemy comes against us. What does the Word say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. What am I doing right now? I am encouraging you and myself in the Word, not in what I feel or think. My feelings will deceive me. My heart is deceitful. But I know who my Redeemer is. I know what His Word says. And in fact, this is Him. Let doubt be replaced with the gift of faith. I said that way on purpose. When you are filled with the Spirit, there are some gifts that are given. And sometimes you need an extra measure of faith than you can muster on your own. And you have to trust and believe that God is able to give good gifts to His children. And the gift of faith is the one that comes when you got no other reason to have faith. And it says, I'm going to lift you up. Gives you that faith that goes beyond what you can understand. I don't know why I'm trusting. I don't know why I have faith, but for some reason I do. Let that doubt fade away and let faith come and take its place. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things you can't see. What's the evidence? Look, we can take this all the way back if we need to. I'm going to tell you right now, when you've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's all the evidence I need. He moves when I call on Him. He answers. He does works I don't understand. He answers my needs and my prayers. Let hopelessness be replaced with confidence. Confidence in what? Not yourself. Not your employer. Not this government. Not anything else in the world. Let your confidence be in Jesus Christ, our Savior. You say, well, I just feel hopeless. I don't know what to do. I feel like there's no way out of this situation I'm in. Oh, there's a way. He's the one that makes a way where there is no way. Y'all, we sang a song today, Waymaker. Like it or love it, I don't care. But there's some truth in it. He is a way maker. If we have to get out of this building right now, there's four exits in this room alone. What if they're all blocked? We're going to make a way. Okay? We might have to make a new door. You hear what I'm saying? He's a way maker. Because you look at it, you'll survey the situation, and you'll say, I don't see no way. You know how many times I've looked at a situation in my life and said, I have done the math. I don't see a way. And then something outside of what my understanding is comes into play. You know what that's called? It's called supernatural. It's not natural. It's outside of natural. In what way? How is it that this thing took place? Well, it's been 100 different ones. It's 1,000 different ones. However God chooses to move in that situation, He can do it because His wealth is immeasurable. His love for you is immeasurable. His wanting to fulfill your needs is immeasurable. His desire for you to have joy and peace and strength and righteousness is immeasurable. And so when we go to God and say, God, look, I've got this problem in my life. The doctors say this. The bill collectors say this. I can't look into my wallet and find a way to solve this problem. My job does not pay enough. There's no cure for this thing. Whatever the limitation you can see in your own mind is, none of that matters to God, because God is the one that created. He spoke things into existence. What? Come on. He said, let there be light. There was light. That doesn't make sense to me and you, does it? All those limitations come into play. You look at it and you say, I don't know how to solve this. He says, why don't you put me in? Let me take a swing at it. See, what you didn't consider was that I have these people over here that's got resources. What you didn't consider is I'm a healer and I can do things doctors can't. You know, there's always been times throughout the ages where doctors make discoveries, right? You know, God never discovered anything. Nothing ever occurred to Him. His knowledge is from beginning to end. He knows all things, has seen all things. So maybe it is that when those doctors made discoveries, there might have been another thing in work. And so you're looking at your situation you're right now and you're saying, there is no cure for this thing. Well, maybe it's time for a new discovery. Maybe it's time that God moves on your behalf in a way nobody else can, and all of a sudden a miracle breakthrough happens. Maybe you're looking at your situation in your life. Maybe your marriage is falling apart and you're saying, they cheated, I've cheated, there's all kinds of breakup going on here, there's no way God can restore this. Oh, contraire. God can put things back together that were meant to be together and make them better than they were. Y'all, something I've learned from working with wood is that when you glue two things together, as long as you do it properly, that will never break on the glue. It breaks on the wood beside it. You say, okay, thanks for a little tidbit of information. What I'm here today to tell you, though, is that when God restores a relationship, He puts it back better than it was. The join that He makes is better than it was. And you say, well, I've seen people get back together and they fall apart again. Maybe God wasn't involved in it. Maybe you're looking at your job right now. Come on, church, listen. Maybe you're looking at your job right now and you're saying, man, I don't see any way out of this situation, whatever it may be. I don't see no way that I can prosper where I'm at right now. Maybe not. Maybe God's got something better. Or maybe so, and He's got things going on you don't know nothing about, because you don't know every conversation that happens behind closed doors. Maybe there's people that are willing to give you favor you don't know nothing about yet. But when we empty ourselves out of all of those preconceived notions and the weight of this world that it puts on us, and we go before the living God and we humble ourselves, the Word says that if those people, my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, confess their wickedness and their sin and turn from it and turn to me and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That was the Kevin Alfred version. Come on, church, listen. Some of you are sitting here today, you came in empty, and you're ready to receive. Some of you came in full of all sorts of nonsense, and you would love to shake it off and get rid of it. Empty it out. Empty it. Say, I don't want it no more. Maybe you're sitting here and I'm going to meddle a little bit, okay? Maybe you've been buried up in sin. You got stuff going on in your life you wouldn't want anybody to find out about. Hey, I've been there. Here's the thing, I bet most people in this room have at some point. Maybe you're saying, I don't know how to shake this. I've tried. Maybe it's too fun, too enjoyable. Or maybe, you know, addictions are rough, man. Maybe it's just got such a hold on you, you can't do it. See, you got to want to first. First, you got to come to a place where you say, God, this is wrong. I want to get rid of it. Help me. You know what that's called? That's called emptying yourself. God, I don't want this no more. Help me to get rid of it. Help me to shake it off. I want to be filled with righteousness. I want my joy to come back. I don't want to have depression. I don't want to feel weakness. I want strength and confidence to be my foundation. I want to be founded on your word and your principles. God, I don't want this thing anymore. Y'all, some people here, and I'm going to throw myself in the mix. Sometimes there's those things that we have struggled with for years. And there's times where it seems hopeless that you will ever shake it off. Sometimes we even resign ourselves to, that's just how it is. There's nothing that can be done. But I'm here today to tell you that we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think, or can even imagine. Now, if that's true, your addiction, your sin, the thing that keeps you pulled away from God all the time, whatever it may be, that has to fall into subjection to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It has to. I'm here today to give you confidence in Him and His Word. I'm here today to deliver a message that if you empty yourself of everything and allow Him to fill you, things can change in your life. They will change in your life. And you say, man, that was great. I've been through that before, and it worked good for a little while. Did you go back to get filled again? I don't know about y'all, but everything I've ever filled in my life with any sort of liquid has to be replenished. Right? You got to return to the well. You got to go back to find that anointing again. You've got to go back and be filled by the Holy Spirit again. It's not a one and done scenario. Right? I have to walk with God daily. You hear me? I have to walk with Him daily. Because sometimes I get up and I don't want to walk with Him. Come on. Am I the only one to be honest today? Y'all know that's the truth. I get up some days and I don't want to walk with God. There's two eyes. I ain't talking about these. There's the eye that is the flesh, and there's the eye that is the spirit. The Word tells us plainly, y'all. And listen, I am trying my best to just encourage some people today. The Word tells us plainly. I'm going to tell you two things. First, it says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There wasn't a lot of maybes in there, was there? The only if was according to you. If you walk in the Spirit, then it's certainty. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's those days that I walk in the Spirit, can't touch me, man. Get back, Satan. Right? There's no problem. But then I stop walking in the Spirit, and I start to walk in the flesh. And there's even times, hear me out now, because I want you to know the difference and the distinction between these two. There are times walking in the flesh, I am able to resist temptation through my own power. But that will not last long. What I'm really doing right there is I'm running on fumes. I'm running on whatever little bit of leftover spirit I still had going on in me, right? And that's coming to an end real abruptly. I must return to the well. I must go back and get filled again. I have to stay in His Word. I have to stay in communication with my God. I have to bring Him into every scenario in my life. If I don't bring Him in and I excommunicate Him from my life, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to run out of the juice. Right? And before you know it, I'm going to be walking in the flesh again, and I will be fulfilling the lust of the flesh because that is my nature. That's what I return to. I'm going to share one more verse with you. I told you I had two. I encourage you to memorize this one because I can't say this for everybody, but I know for myself, I have to remind myself of these things sometimes. And if you've ever been tangled up in sin in any way, addiction or whatever you want to call it, you know there's going to come some guilt and some shame. I guarantee it. Because the devil is a two-faced liar. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. He'll come and tell you, oh, it's okay, go ahead. And then when you do, he's going to say, what is wrong with you? Look at how pathetic you are. Can't win with that guy, I'm telling you. Just write that down. You cannot win with the devil. So here's the verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. No condemnation. What does that mean? Oh man, that just touches my soul every time I think about it because I know my God has not forsaken me. Just because I turned away from Him in a moment and I turned back to Him, He's saying, come on. I've already got you. There's no condemnation over on this side waiting on you. And how many times have you thought that or been told that by the enemy where you have failed, you have sinned? There is no doubt that's the case. But he tries to tell you he'll never take you back. You've gone too far. There's no way he can come out of this. Remember who we serve? He's a way maker. And you turn back to him and he says, come on. There's no condemnation waiting on you on this side. I have been saved. I have been forgiven. Y'all, my eternal security is just that, eternally secure. I'm saved. From what? Death, hell, the grave. I'm saved. I am saved into new life. I am saved from death. That's not, my God is not wishy-washy. He doesn't change His mind because I changed mine one time. When He saves me, He saves me. His sacrifice, His blood, is able to wash away and cover all of my sin. I'm here today to deliver a message to you, church. Empty yourself out of all the things that this world has to offer and come before the Lord God Almighty and say, fill me. Don't leave this place today like you came. Look, we can do it. And some of y'all already have it on your mind. It's 12:21. When is He going to stop talking? And I got lunch cooking. Don't He know we got to beat the Pentecostals to lunch? Otherwise, it's going to be covered up. Don't He know? And I'm here today to deliver something that could be a life-changing message to you. I don't know where you are in your life, but I know when I was in my own problems, I needed somebody to breathe life into me. I know when I've been away from God, I needed a brother or sister to grab me by the arm and say, come on, let's go. That's called exhortation. You may not feel like it right now, but come on. Y'all, I'm trying to breathe life into you today through the Word of God. I'm trying to give you a reason to have hope. Forget about Whataburger. It'll be there. They don't shut down all day. Empty yourself today. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord. Lord God, you know every heart that's here. Lord, are we not your people? Father, you know each person and you know the hurt that they have endured. You know the sin that they have been entangled with. Lord, you know about the hopelessness that has overshadowed their life. God, you know about all those things. And yet you still draw us with your loving kindness. You still speak to us when we don't want to hear. Lord, I just pray right now that you would move in this place. That the Holy Spirit would touch someone's life today. I pray that they would open up and allow you to move in them. That they would not resist the move of the Spirit. Move in this place today. Brother John, will you come and play, please? Church, if you're here today and He's speaking to you, listen to Him. Don't put Him off. Don't ignore Him. I know. If you just hold on a little bit longer, He'll be done and I won't have to respond to this. I've been there too. I remember the Holy Spirit dealing with me time and time again, and I would stand there and I'd resist. I'd make it through a week. We'd go back to church the next week and the Holy Spirit would be dealing with me. He'd be moving on me and I would be resisting. There came a point where I said, I can't do this no more. I surrender. Don't do like that. Y'all, that's terrible. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. A good God, a loving God is calling out to you today. He's saying, I want to fill you with joy, with gladness, with peace, with strength. I want you to be overflowing. I don't want the demon of depression and anger and bitterness to have its hooks in you anymore. You're a child of God. You are to be set free. You are above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail. If that's you today, if you're sitting there, you've been struggling, you've been tangled up, you've been wondering when God was going to move on your behalf, then I ask you, just slip your hand up real quick. It ain't got to be long. Ain't nobody going to make a scene here. Thank you for that hand. God is moving right now. Respond to Him. Hear what He's saying. If you want God to move in your life, you want Him to shake off the cobwebs and shake out all of that extra stuff that's got you full of something, then slip up your hand and say, God, I want you to fill me with your goodness. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Oh, holy God, we praise your name today. Lord, you know the hearts of every person that is in this place. Oh, Lord, I praise you for your goodness. Lord, empty us today, Lord. Empty us. If you want to come to these altars and pray today, it's not a requirement. God can do whatever He needs to do, but I'm going to tell you right now, I have found times when I had to get up and move and see God move in my life, and I was so committed to wanting to see Him move, I wasn't about to give up. Maybe that's you today. If you want to come and pray at these altars, do so. If you want to just turn around and kneel there at your seat, that's fine too. I don't care. But empty yourself out today that He might fill you.